This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. You're listening to Weekend Programming, and here's what we have coming up for you today. In just a moment, we're going to have magazine in which we look at some of the stranger, quirkier stories from the Czech Republic, hosted, as always, by Daniela Lazarová, although technically Daniela is off on holiday, so this is kind of one from the vault, but interesting stories nevertheless. That'll be followed by another Czech lesson in that sound check in which you can learn secrets of the Czech language through song lyrics. That's with Claire Profos. And we're going to wrap things up with an interview with author Marek Toman. That's in Czech books with David Vaughan. Now, though, Daniela Lazarová and that Blast from the Past magazine.
A court in Olomouc recently confirmed 5 to 7 year sentences for what has been dubbed the rail theft of the century. Three men were found guilty of stealing a 300-meter-long freight train from the firm TSS Cargo. If you're wondering how it is possible to steal an engine and 25 wagons in broad daylight, the answer is simple. The trio rented the train for a day, failed to pay the money, and instead set off for Poland, where they resprayed it a different colour and changed all the ID signs and numbers. Officially, the train disappeared, but the company employed private detectives who eventually traced it in Poland. The identity of one of the culprits came as a huge shock. The man was a former city councillor and one of the country's leading experts on the renovation of historical trains. But clearly none of those jobs paid well enough. A restorer working on the St. Nepomuk statue in the town of Norberčany in the Olomouc region alarmed the local fire brigade and explosive experts after finding an artillery grenade hidden in an opening in the base of the statue. The artillery grenade turned out to be a time capsule containing written materials, banknotes and about 20 coins of different sizes pertaining to the years of the First Republic between 1918 and 1938. The documents reporting on village life were the work of a local teacher who appears to have been the town chronicler. The artifacts were handed over to conservationists and will be shown in the regional museum in Olomouc. But the village of Norberčany will get a copy made of all the documents that the capsule contained, including a list of all the village inhabitants in 1925. And the locals have decided that once restoration work on the statue of St. Nepomuk is finished, they will place their own time capsule into the base of the statue for future generations. Czech ornithologists are excited about the sighting last week of a black and white blackbird. It is the second sighting of such a blackbird, and experts believe that the bird or birds are leucistic. Leucistic individuals are not all white like albinos, but are coloured in patches due to a melanin production defect. Such animals or birds are rare finds and are extremely vulnerable to predators. The Ornithologists Association has asked the public to report on any other sightings of the bird, which was last seen in the streets of Přerov. The Ecora company in Koprivnice gives a new lease of life to car veterans, mostly Tatra 87s. The car made famous by the travelling duo Miroslav Zygmunt and Jiří Hanzelka, who covered more than 61,000 kilometres with this model on a tour of Africa and South America in 1947. Work on the vintage cars, which come in rusty and unusable, usually takes about a year, and they roll out of the company gates as good as new. Ecora, which has a 20-year tradition in the business and some of the best mechanics in Koprivnice, occasionally gets to work on exceptional pieces, such as the Helica propeller-driven automobile or a 1930s Dimaxion. A foreign visitor to Prague livened up traffic in the city centre last week, dressing up as a clown and directing traffic on Náměstí Republiky Square. While drivers and passers-by followed his directions, police officers were unimpressed and slapped him a hefty fine. A police spokesman said that directing traffic appeared to be very appealing, and similar attempts had been made in the past. In one case, a mentally ill man was caught directing traffic at Národní třída. And on another occasion, a drunk man engaged in the similar activity on Wenceslas Square. A group of 33 enthusiasts have attempted to set a world record in completing a giant puzzle made of 33,600 pieces. The team, made up of 33 people from all corners of the Czech Republic, completed the puzzle in 47 hours and 33 minutes, working in teams of 11 people. The event, which took place within the very first Puzzles Festival held in the town of Zlín, was recorded on video and will be sent to the committee which decides on entries into the Guinness Book of Records.
You've been listening to Magazine with Daniela Lazarova. A repeat, as Daniela was off this week. Now, though, we do have a new edition of Soundcheck with Claire Brofos.
Welcome to a new edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn Czech phrases with the help of song lyrics. The word for today is anděl, an angel. We will be listening to a song performed by Czech singer Aneta Langerová called Spousta andělů, Tons of Angels. In the song, Aneta Langerová sings, Kolem je spousta andělů, ty je nevidíš, ty je neslyšíš, jsou všude kolem, i když třeba spíš. Which means, there are tons of angels around. You don't see them, you don't hear them. They are all around, even as you sleep. Many of these Czech phrases are similar to those used in English. For instance, to look angelic is vypadat jako anděl, and mít angelskou trpělivost is to have the patience of a saint. If someone is being an absolute dear, you can say, ty jsi učiněný anděl.
Ty je nevidíš, ty je neslyšíš. jsou všude kolem, i když třeba spí.
In Czech, an angel is sometimes referred to as an andílek, a little angel or a cherub. When someone goes swimming and starts drowning, it is said that they swallowed little angels. Polikal andělíčky. Slyšel jsem andělíčky zpívat is to see stars after getting a bump on the head. Literally translated, it means to hear the cherubs sing. A guardian angel, who with any luck stops you from having to hear the cherubs sing, is called an angel strážný. An angel that has fallen from grace is a padlý angel, and an angel of peace is an angel míru. The angel that appears out of the blue, signifying death, is an angel smrti, angel of death. An andělíček or an andílek are also common pet names. To say that he is mother's little angel, you can say, on je maminčin andílek. If you want to call someone sweetheart or honey, you can say andílku.
Kolem je spousta andělů. Ty je nevidíš, ty je neslyšíš. Jsou všude kolem, i když třeba spíš.
That's all for this week. This is Claire Profos saying thank you for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Nevidíš, neslyšíš. Jsou všude kolem, i když třeba spíš. Angelou.
The voice there of Aneta Langerová, ending that edition of Soundcheck hosted by Claire Profos, who's been doing special editions of that long-running series. As always, don't forget you can find that series in sound and text if you want to repeat on our website, radio.cz is the address to visit. Now, though, this edition of Czech Books. The work of the novelist Marek Toman is diverse. It takes us from Jewish Prague in the 16th century all the way to the drama of the Velvet Revolution 400 years later. He has even written one novel in which radio becomes a central character. And his latest book, due to be published next year, again takes us back in time. It focuses on a notorious 17th century court case, but is far from being a mere costume drama. In the author's work, the past is always nearer to the present than you might expect. David Vaughan met the novelist.
Marek Toman currently works for the Czech Foreign Ministry and has spent time at the country's embassies in Hungary and Estonia. But in the early 1990s, he started his career in the literary section of Czech radio. It was a time of huge changes in Czech society, and the period provided the inspiration for his novel The Special Meaning of Pancakes, a book which is every bit as quirky as its title. When I met Marek at the Rosa Car Café in Prague's Vinohrady district, I began by asking him about the novel, and the very special role played in it by the very building in which I am now sitting, the headquarters of Czech Radio.
I'm not saying that I was trying to catch the spirit of the building, but the spirit is definitely there, and the work of radio editor has some level of practical magic, I would say, because there is many things which are difficult to influence, and basically my novel is very much about the things you are not in control of.
Something happens in the novel which I think is the ultimate nightmare for any radio journalist, which is that the protagonist suddenly starts to stammer.
My main hero, the radio editor, he is also fighting some deep crisis with his girlfriend. So actually the inability to speak, the impossibility to speak is parallel to the inability to get through with your beloved one, which might be also very complicated. So it's a physical demonstration of something which is very much in the brain and heart.
And so here's an extract in my own rough translation of part of the scene in the book where the protagonist first starts to stammer, to lose his radio voice.
The red light came on. The studio guest was a psychologist, here to talk about her new book on self-confidence. The first challenge was to read the introduction. I couldn't get those five sentences out. Under the irritable scrutiny of the sound engineer and with the studio technician glowering at me from behind the glass, I just couldn't do it. And then there was the psychologist. I read it and killed it dead, as the radio rule goes. You just have to talk as if it were your best friend sitting opposite you. The psychologist was sitting there opposite me, clearly wondering what on earth I'd dragged her into. I lifted my eyes from the paper. I could sense how the introduction had sounded, hoarse, dry, and impossible. There was only one way out, to drown it with a friendly question. I wanted to ask, can you learn self-confidence? Unfortunately, the word self-confidence brought my radio career to an end almost before it had started. What came out sounded like self-e-air-on. The louder I tried, the less sure I got. The psychologist was silent. Self-immolation, she suggested. Celibacy. Sub-collateral. Super-infidelity. Soap opera. Behind the glass, the producer stood up with the ruddy face of the heavy drinker. The light went out, and from somewhere I could hear his tortured voice. Could you try that little question just once more?
And you're writing about the radio in the 1990s very much from your own experiences, aren't you? It's not an autobiography, but you obviously draw immensely from your memories of the rather quirky atmosphere in Czechoslovak radio in the 90s.
Definitely, I think the period that was still mixture of at least two or three periods, because there was very much the spirit of 60s, of a liberal atmosphere present at the time. Then there was the atmosphere of the beginning of capitalism and free society, and definitely also some remnants of normalization, as the period of 80s is called. And there was enormous clash of these three things, and me as a youngster over 20, I was just flabbergasted, and you know, it was quite difficult for me to cope with that.
And there are quite a lot of things that probably some readers will think are rather surreal that turn up, like, for example, a new boss who decides to serialize the entire Bible, for example, and then there's another boss who turns up who's a 60s hippie and sort of decides to recreate the atmosphere of the 60s in the 1990s. This all seems comically absurd, but it's not entirely surreal, is it, given the atmosphere of the time when the whole of Czech society was in flux, wasn't it?
Very much so, and speaking of the literature, that was the time when the books of forbidden authors started to appear, and there was enormous mixture of different things published. The atmosphere was great and difficult.
And one of the characters who really has most remained in my memory from reading the book is this guy who becomes the head, who's this 60s hippie who used to be the singer of a band called the Transparent Debils, and he turns what is meant to be a literary department in the radio into a sort of endless alcoholic party, doesn't he?
The name of the group, the Transparent Debils, which might sound really absurd or clumsy or anything, is very much similar to the names of the real bands from Czechoslovakia in 60s, like the Primitives group or even the famous Plastic People of the Universe. So I just got the same pattern and other words.
And what is it about Czech radio that does have this? A, it's a magnet. It seems to be a magnet for eccentrics. And B, it does have a very, very special atmosphere, which against the odds seems to survive pretty much even to this day, I think.
I think there is one particular aspect, and that is that the living word, I mean the word on the radio, is very difficult to control, because you might control the text, but the tone, the context, that's pretty difficult. So the Czech radio played a very important role in 40s during the occupation, then in 60s, in the end of 60s. And evidently we deal with something which is beyond the control of text, controllers, editors, and there is some anarchistic freedom which is inevitably present even in the building of the Czech radio. So that's probably the explanation. So there is some magic.
And tell me about your writing since you wrote The Special Meaning of Pancakes.
There was also a book called My Golem, which is a version of Golem legend, so very much Prague Jewish Christian story.
And the Golem, some of our listeners might not know, is a robot that was in legend said to have been created by the famous 16th century Rabbi Lev in Prague.
Yeah, and the last book is called The Cool Guy. That's a story from 89, from our Velvet Revolution, with two brothers, one a policeman, one a demonstrating student.
Going from 16th century Prague to a novel about two brothers at the time of the Velvet Revolution, it's a huge thematic jump.
Yeah, but still, it's all the same, because it's the magic of Prague. It's about the secrets of Czech society or Czechoslovak history. It's about feeling to live in Central Europe, which is very special place to try to understand. And so, again, it's a mixture of drama, fun, tragedy, love, and so on.
In that novel, The Cool Guy, you have the two brothers, or half-brothers, one of whom is somebody demonstrating in November 1989 against communism, and by a weird stroke of fate, on the other side of the barricades, his half-brother is one of the police who are beating up the demonstrators.
There I simply put the different pieces of our family puzzle together, because actually I did have a half-brother policeman. We didn't meet, but it was very easy to imagine that we met there.
I know that you're currently working on a book which again goes back into the past, this time into the 17th century. And again, as with The Golem, it has a Jewish connected subject. It's about a figure that probably most of our listeners won't have heard of, called Shimon Abeles. Could you tell us a little bit more about this story and how you've approached it?
Shimon Abeles, that's a real person from 17th century Prague, and that was a boy, 10 or 12 years old, who was allegedly killed by his father, that was a Jewish family, and the reason was said to be that the boy wanted to convert from Judaism to Christianity. Now, there was immense, huge trial which followed with the boy's father. There was a wave of sharp anti-Semitism and also a wave of media attention. So media in those days, I mean leaflets published by book printers. And these leaflets brought all over the Europe the story of a Christian martyr of Jewish origin. But the thing is that it isn't so clear as it seems, and since then there are signs that actually it was a trial very much influenced by the politics of those days, reminding actually the processes of 50s in the Czechoslovakia and political processes in the end of 30s.
In the Soviet Union?
In the Soviet Union. So I was attracted by this similarity, and also this huge media wave reminded me of nowadays tabloid and TV work with the real cases, the real stories. So I tried to repeat the story, paying attention to this also.
And so when can we look forward to the book being completed and published?
So actually it is already finished, it's ready, and it is going to be published next year, 2014.
And I hope, too, that at some point it'll be translated into English, because I think it would interest our listeners a great deal.
You know, depends on the reception in the Czech Republic, and if it is not a great hit, one can't say what will be the future, but definitely there is a well-respected publishing house, Argo, behind that, and we will see.
Marek Toman, best of luck for the future, and thank you very much indeed for talking to us here at Radio Prague in the Cafe Rosa K, Rosa K, not far from the radio, in fact.
Yeah, that's the same quarter, the same spirit, and thank you very much for your interest.
And you've been listening to Czech Books, hosted by David Vaughan. His guest was the author Marek Toman. That edition first broadcast back in September of 2014. That takes us just about to the end of today's show. A quick reminder, you'll find many more stories, news items, features at our website, radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger. Thanks for joining us this day, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.